Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Pleased and honored to bring in our next guest is Dr. Eugene Blyle. Not only is he a veteran of United States military service, he is a survivor, a handful, perhaps as few as 50, still alive to tell the tale of the Bataan Death March in 1942 with Japanese captors, 12,000 U.S. soldiers, and about 65,000 Filipinos marching across the Bataan Peninsula. Hello, Dr. Blyle. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Well, I enjoyed talking with your daughter, Claudia, and certainly enjoyed the opportunity to read the story that Kathleen Levy did on you in the Lansing State Journal. And I guess every chapter of that story had the same postscript that it got worse.
That's correct. That's very correct.
All right. Now, you have chronicled your memories. You're looking for a publisher, I guess your daughter is, for Consigned to Death Six Times.
That's correct.
Can you explain that title?
Well, we were first within 8 days of the war. Our President Roosevelt wrote us off, and right after that, Henry Stimson, the Secretary of War, said, men must die. And the battles began. That was before any of the battles of Bataan began. We were still fighting with over the entire Luzon Peninsula island. After we retreated to Bataan, it was 16 days after the war started, our illustrious commander, we called him Dugout Doug, for obvious reasons, he fled to Malinda Tunnel, and where it was secure and they had plenty of food. And he issued the ultimatum that not to give up the island till the last man is dead. And then later on, he said, when the food runs out, we want you to mount an offensive and kill as many Japanese as you can before they kill you.
That's easier said from the dugout, right?
That's right. And then he fled to Australia. And we were told we captured a Japanese officer in the Battle of Aniassan, one of the battles of the points. And he said that that was in February. He said that the Japanese would be augmented by the Singapore troops, and they would take us over the 1st of April, and everyone would be annihilated. And then when we surrendered, the officer in charge of the surrender, the Japanese officer, said that we were going to be marched out of the zone of war, and if we didn't obey all of the orders of the guards, they had the right to kill us. Well, they were shouting at us in Japanese, of course, and nobody understood Japanese, so it was a lost cause all the way.
Amazing. How long did you march? How long did this take? And I guess you had one very short rest period, right?
And yes. I started in the first, in the first group of 100 on the march, and we marched for 5 days and four nights. The only break we had was about 15 minutes at Balanga, where they took our pictures, and then they tried to double-time us to make up for the 15-minute rest period.
And how many times were you beaten?
I lost count. The most severe beating, you were often struck once or twice, and you suspected that might be the end. But the most severe beating I got was in January of 43.
Nearly starved, you went through just about every sort of abuse and deprivation imaginable. As you celebrate Veterans Day this year and you think back on this, what is the most important thought that comes to your mind, Doctor?
Well, the most important thought is that I'm home and free. There's nothing like freedom, and that's the thing that the rest of the world dislikes Americans for. We have freedom, and they're under the boot all the time.
It is an amazing story, one that you should definitely check out, the Lansing State Journal yesterday and Kathleen Levy's piece. And I really hope that you find a publisher for Consigned to Death Six Times, because I want to read this myself. God bless you, and thanks so much for joining us and sharing your memories of horrors and atrocities that no one can imagine. You would have had to be there, and very few survivors of that were very fortunate. Dr. Eugene Blyle is one of them. Thanks so much, Doctor.
Thank you very much.